and then we'll begin our message by prayer. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee." Lord, we thank you so much for this family. We thank you, Lord, how you do the calling, and Lord, how you reach down from heaven and you stir the hearts of men to do your bidding. And Lord, we'll hope that we will never get over it. I pray for this church. Pray this church would never get over their burden and desire to get behind missionaries and support them. And Lord Jesus, we just pray this in your name and under your precious blood. Amen. There's a great need today for missionaries to be called and sent out of the local church. And I believe that there's a great need for Christians today to allow God to speak to their hearts. Now, when you come to church, when you listen to a message on the radio, or when you're reading your Bible and you're praying, that you would allow God to speak to your heart. You just don't want to hear a message about God. You want to hear from God. And that's so important that we get to the place. And I appreciate that testimony about how God stirred his heart and called him, you know. God's ways are not man's ways, you know. So whenever God does something in your life, don't start measuring yourself up against another Christian.
That's right.
Or another ministry. Allow God to do it. You know, when God takes a divine initiative in your life, it'll change you. Because really, when you get to the place to where it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks, what matters is your obedience to the Lord Jesus.
Right.
It makes dramatic change in your life, and every God called preacher I've ever met has a testimony similar to that, and as my own, that, you know, it didn't matter. When I was in Gooding, Idaho, and God called me to preach after being saved a little over a year, I'm telling you, I didn't care. I would have been content just going north to the desert there right outside of Gooding, just preaching to the lizards and the rock chucks, you know. A lot of folks said, well, maybe you should have kept doing that, amen, you know. But if you look back in the text that we have here, and you see men and women called of God to do his bidding, but let's just look at Abraham for a moment, and you think what God did when he spoke to him. And God's desire was to build a nation unto himself. And if you think about it for a minute, you really get down to it, it was the way God did it. God had a son, amen, and his name was Adam. And then Adam's descendants, there was a man named Noah. And Noah had sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And out of Shem's line, there was a man named Eber. And out of Eber came the line of Terah, and Terah's son was Abraham. And out of Abraham came his sons. Abraham was Isaac, and then Jacob. Amen. And then Jacob's sons, 12 tribes. And out of that came a man named Boaz. And out of Boaz came the line of Jesse, the line of David, and then out of David came the Lord Jesus Christ. God knew what he was doing. But just think, as when Abraham was there at Ur of Chaldees in that dark wasteland, they say that Abraham was from the other side. They were moon worshipers. They were idolaters. And then God came and he spoke to this man, Abraham. He brought his hand down upon Abraham. I'm sure Abraham said, okay. I'm sure glad Abraham didn't say, no, you called the wrong number, you know. But Abraham accepted what God was doing to him, and no one else understood it. His father didn't understand it. And indeed, he couldn't fulfill God's call until his father passed away, and he was able to continue on doing God's call. It just blows my mind that God chose him out of this line of Noah, out of Seth, and then Eber, and that's where the name derived Hebrew came from. That's the name the word's from, you know. And Abraham was a progenitor of the nation of Israel. He was the original Hebrew. There was no Jews. There was no. He didn't come. He was the man that God called. And now we know that three faiths claim him. Abraham has their father of their faith. But we know that when God does it, man just has to stand back and be in awe. Be in awe. I tell you, I'm so glad that God does it, you know, and I'm so glad today that he's still doing it. He's still calling men to missions. And you say, well, you know, we got enough missionaries. No, we don't.
No.
You know, if you think about it, you think, man, I'll tell you, the best part of that video was your family, brother. Amen. And then also at the end, showing all them houses, all them people, man, millions, millions and millions and millions of people dying and going into a Christless eternity without the Lord Jesus. We had a missionary, Tim Simmons, come. I think you've met him, brother. He's tremendous. Amen. He preached one of the most tremendous missionary outlines that I've ever heard. And the title of his message was Four Qualities for a Missions-Minded Church. It's just tremendous. I felt bad that I cut his time short. I thought, man, I wanted to hear more of that. And I was able to follow up, and he sent me some of his notes and stuff. I said, praise the Lord, brother. But I want to be a part of a church that reaches missions, you know. I remember when we had Joe Merlo here. You know, I don't know if Joe Merlo shared the story, but Solid Rock took him on for support without even mentioning him, without even meeting him.
Yeah.
Yeah, not too many churches do that. He didn't even come and report it. I just told the church there, Solid Rock, I said, hey, this guy's coming, and I don't know when he'll be able, maybe 5 or 6 years, but he's worthy of support. He's a good man, and they said, preacher, if you believe that, we're behind you, amen? So don't get down on me too bad if we just, you know, from the floor here, we support a missionary. They never even met him, amen? As a matter of fact, when he did come to report to the church, I was already gone to another ministry, amen? But the church still supports him. That's why God's blessing that church, amen? And that church is, I think they're celebrating. Well, I don't know if someone wanted to do the math. It started in 1996, so it was over 24 years. They're celebrating their anniversary. They're still going. And I believe why Solid Rock Baptist Church still exists today in a barren wasteland in southern Idaho, where more churches are folding than getting started, is because they are missions-minded. They love missionaries. And when the church started, we started right away when we started the church. Right away, we started supporting missionaries. There's only three families. And I says, hey, we need to, you know, what do you all think? They said, hey, let's get behind it. Amen. And it was awesome. It was awesome. And we need to get behind missionaries and church planters. And Brother Simmons shared this statistic. I'll share this one and another one that he had. He said there are 7.6 billion people alive right now. 2.1 billion have never heard the gospel one time. Who was it? Oswald Sanders says, why should Americans hear the gospel twice when most people in the world never heard it once? He said 47,000 people die every day from that 2.1 billion and go into a Christless eternity in hell. He said we should care about those that are dying and apart from our church. Amen. So you think about it. If you came to Sunday school, you came to the first hour, and then you stay. Thank you for staying. Amen. Richard left, but he had to go to work. Amen. But so those that have been at Sunday school, they'll stay here. We get approximately about 3 hours this morning we're together, then we leave. So during that time, if you go by this statistics, 5,877 people will go out into eternity from the time that we're here. Amen. If you came for just one of the service, and I am thrilled and happy that you did, amen, 2,938 people go out into eternity. That's a sobering statistic. We ought to we ought to be more about missions and getting behind missionaries and men that are called of God to do his bidding, you know. I want to be a part of a church, Brother Chuck, that has a reputation for that, amen? And I'm not saying we really do, but there are some evidences that we do care about missionaries, not only our board, but people give. You know, I've had missionaries come to me and say, hey, somebody gave outside of your normal giving. I said, hey, more power to them, amen? Yeah. Well, yeah, that's a good point. I think it was Brother, we have Brother Kuhn. He doesn't even go to this church, and I don't know, it's almost every year he calls and says, well, I got a check. I want you to come pick up for the church. You know, it's all awesome. Get to go visit him, have a word of prayer with him. And I always think in the back of my mind when I pick up the check and he says it's for missions, and he goes, because we know you're going to give it to missionaries, amen? Yeah. It's going to go to missions. 100% of your missions money go to missionaries in one form or another. Yeah. Either take care of their need, hotel, meal, monthly support. We want to make sure it all goes to them. That's why we have a separate account for it. Amen. But it made me think, Brother Steve, well, what is his church? Do they give to missions? I don't know. I certainly would want to give to my church, amen, to missions, amen, and give it. But see, God does the initiative. God does the calling. If I didn't get anything, Brother Garner, from your testimony, I got this, that God called you, amen, that God did it, amen. And that's why, hey, that's why it's so important for us to realize that as individuals, amen. Some of us are not going to be called to a foreign country, and you might say, hallelujah, I do, amen. But we can still be a part. We could be part of the sending, amen. If we can't go, we ought to be a part of the going, amen. Be a part of it and give. And the reason I said that God does the calling in Romans chapter 11, verses 28 through 36, I want to just read a couple notes on that. It says that as concerning of the gospel, Paul tells the Roman church, there are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for my Father's sake. Now listen to this. This is a tremendous verse here. In verse 29 of Romans 11, it says, for the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. What does that mean? That means that the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. You'll probably hear that this afternoon, amen? I'm just priming you, brother, amen, for what about you're about ready to go to. I'm not able to go, and I was invited, but I'm not able to go. I have commitments right after the service I have to take care of. And it isn't that I didn't want to go, brother, because it's a little entertaining sometimes. You say, what do you mean it's entertaining for an ordination service? Well, it wasn't mine, amen. But I always look at it like this, brother. It's already a foregone conclusion, amen. If God has called you, you know, that's why I went after it. They said, what are you going to do if they don't ordain you or sign your license? I said, I'm going to keep preaching. I'm going to keep going, amen. Amen. His pastor probably wouldn't have liked that I said that, but anyhow. The gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. They're revocable. Amen. You can't get by them. Verse 30 says, for as you in times past have not believed God, yet now have obtained mercy through unbelief, even so, having these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God have concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon them all. God so loved the world, he loved everybody, amen. That's why Paul was a missionary to the Gentiles. In verse 33, oh, the depths and the riches of both wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgment and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. God does the calling. God does the keeping. Amen.
That's right.
And it's by his grace and his power and his mercy and his divine initiatives that he reaches down through heaven and changes people's life. The same way he saves you, amen, is the same way he gifts you and the same way he keeps you. We got to get off the squirrel cage of some of this stuff. Amen. You look at the men and the women that are called of God down through the ages. I'm glad Deborah, as one of the judges of Israel, didn't tell God, well, I know no man will do it, but I'm not going to do it. No, she stepped up. And I know she had Baruch, and he was her main general and main fighter, but I'm telling you, God did it. I don't know if it was Baruch, it was with a B, amen. You got to look in Romans 11 for it, amen. He's in there. But she did it, amen. I don't believe God's called a woman to publicly preach the gospel. That's not in the Bible. But I believe that there is a role for women to surrender to God's call, amen. If you're in a home today and your husband is not the spiritual leader, God has called you to be the spiritual leader until he steps up and does it. It's what God does. And listen, let me qualify that statement by saying this to the women. Hey, and when he does step up, you just got to let him do it. Amen. Maybe he might not know the Bible like you do, but he's doing what God's called him to do. All right, you think about men in the Bible. You think about the prophet Amos. Amos was minding his own business. He was just out in the desert of Tekoa. Amen. He was leading the flock, just minding his own business, Jonathan, amen? Now, his account says it like this. In Amos chapter 7, 14 and 15, then asked Amos to and said unto Amaziah, after God called him, he said, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son. He goes, Dad wasn't a preacher. Don't even think Grandpa was, amen? But I was a herdsman. I was a gatherer of sycamore fruit. When he wasn't out taking care of the flock, he was farming, just taking care of business for. And he says in verse 15, and the Lord took me. Do you ever think about that phrase? The Lord took me. Brother Brad, I don't know if you've ever thought about the Lord took me. Amen. I was content, Brother Steve, just taking care of the sheep, amen. Taking care of the farm, amen. But the Lord took me. The Lord took me. But here's the key to it. He says here, the Lord took me as I followed the flock. Hold it. Now, wait a second. The Lord took him because he was doing what he was supposed to be doing. Amen. A lot of men want to be called, and a lot of men want to preach, and they want to do this and that. But are you doing what God has called you to do right where you're at? Faithful is he that called you will also do it. It is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. He just kept just do what God's called you to do. Amen. I wasn't looking for the job. Amen. I was content with what I was doing. I was content being a drywall contractor. Hey, there was a lot less problems. Amen. I was content dealing with that, amen? It was like a 9 to 6 thing or whatever, 9 to 5 or whatever, but when the day was over, it was over. The ministry, hey, the call of God on a minister, he's always getting ready for Sunday. The burden is never lifted from him, amen? Now praise the Lord for it. He says, as the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, go and prophesy side unto my people. Like Abraham, he answered the call. Like Abraham, he said, I'll go, amen. I'll do something about it, amen. You'll see as Brother Class says in his book, Heartbeats of the Holy, he says this about Amos. He says, there's old Amos, the poor herdsman, brooding deeply in the solitary aims of the thin pasture of Tekoa. Rumors had come his ways of dark doings in high places. Wealth is breeding iniquity. Luxury is producing callousness. Injustice is rampant. Truth has fallen in the street. And as Amos mused, the fire burned. And out of those lone wasteland, he heard the mysterious call and saw the beckoning hand of God. For there was no alternative, for the Lord took him as he followed the flock and told him to go prophesy. Isaiah said it like this. He says that the Lord's hand was upon me. It was like an invisible grasp and a grip. I remember when Brother Jerry in Southern Idaho, Jerry Gear, and when he was called of God, I said, "Well, Brother Jerry, how did God call you?" He says, "I don't know what it was, but he goes, something about that snowy night as I was driving my diesel down a snowy road, he says, one little turn to the left, I would be dead. One little turn to the right, I was dead." And he goes, "It was just as if I started weeping and the hand of God came upon me." Amen. And he says, "I just had to keep the diesel straight. I didn't stop. I just kept going." And he said, "The tears flowed and the foundation broke up." And I said, "Oh, yes, Lord, I'll do it." Amen. "I'll preach your word." Amen. That's powerful stuff, amen. It's a call, let me just say it again, it is a call that is irrevocable. Brother, I don't know how bad they're going to drag you over the coals today and so on and so forth, but brother, I'm telling you what, remember that God called you, amen? And remember, there's no turning back. There's no turning back. An example of that would be found in Jeremiah. He had times like that where he wanted to quit, and you know, and that old brokenhearted prophet, he announced the impossible. He resigned, Brother Pat, but he couldn't resign. He quit, but he couldn't quit. That's what the Bible says. You can look it up in Jeremiah 20. And any true man of God that's been in the ministry any length of time can understand exactly what happens when you get discouraged and you want to quit, amen, but you realize you can't quit. Jeremiah even said in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 2, he had this statement. He says, "Oh, that if I had in the wilderness a lodging place for wayfaring men." What is he talking about? He was talking about going in the motel business, amen, up in the mountains, right? He thought maybe his time would be better spent, right, witnessing to tourists up in the mountains than dealing with the heartbreak and everything that was going on in Jerusalem at the time of his prophesying. What happened to him? Well, during Jeremiah's prophesying is when Babylon came and destroyed Jerusalem. And God said, "You will stay." And then King Zedekiah, they took him, right? And Zedekiah kept going to Jeremiah and saying, "Give me a good word from the Lord." He goes, "I ain't got a good word. The best word I got for you is to surrender. If you don't surrender, there's going to be more hurt. There's going to be more pain." It's tragic. Read it. Amen. Read it in Jeremiah. It's tragic what happened. And finally, Jeremiah, and because they didn't like the word from the Lord, they would lower him down into a dungeon and so on and so forth. And finally, it got to the point where Zedekiah, he conceded to the invasion of the Chaldeans from Babylon. And as he came, they got him. And the last thing that Zedekiah seeing the king was his sons as they slaughtered his sons. And then they burned out his eyes. Can you imagine your eyes getting burned out and the last thing you see is your family and your sons being slaughtered? That's what happened. Jeremiah lived that. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. Jeremiah is the one that said, "Call unto me," and the Lord told Jeremiah, "Call unto me, I will answer thee. I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Jeremiah says, "I'll do it." And many times he wanted to quit, but as he said in another portion of his book, he said, "The word was in my heart as like a fire, and I could not forbear. I have to preach, amen. I have to keep going on. It doesn't matter." You know, sometimes as Christians, don't you feel like that? Amen. I wonder how many Christians today are not in church because they just said, "You know what? I can't go. I'm too burdened. I'm too discouraged, Brother Steve." Well, we have found out, my wife and I, Tina, We figured that's the best time to go. Amen. Right. Amen. Yeah. You know how many mornings I said, "I ain't going." She goes, "I'm sorry, you got to. You're supposed to preach." Amen. Amen. But you got to. You just got to keep going, just like Jeremiah. Amen. You got to answer the call, just like Amos. and Abraham. You just got, you can't, listen, you can't give up, right? Because what? Souls are hanging in the balance. Souls are hanging in the balance. I'm going to share, as I promised, I'm almost finished here. I'm going to share one last statistic with you, and this is from Brother Simmons' message. Man, I'm glad he did all this legwork for me. Amen. Amen. Yeah. I'm a gleaner, brother. Amen. Like old Miss Deb said, she goes, well, how do you get your messages? I said, I milk a lot of cows, but I make my own butter. Amen. He says about this, about evangelism. He says, one reason is that the need for missionaries and world evangelism is even greater now than ever before. And those that were here on that Wednesday night, you remember this, because he did share this. He said, in 1950, there were 2.5 billion people in the world. Think about that. That's staggering. What was that last statistic? 7.6 billion? He says, at that time, there were around 100,000 missionaries going out to reach their world. That's one missionary per 25,000 people. Let me just stop for a second. That's why I have hope for America. Amen. I have hope that God will still allow to put his hand upon this nation. If we don't win the election and we lose our freedoms and they come for our guns and all that stuff, I'm telling you, it's not that this nation as a whole doesn't deserve that because of the murder of the unborn babies. Amen. But I will say this, there still isn't another country that's sending out missionaries, that's trying to get the gospel out. Oh, God, have mercy on us. Amen. So there was, back in 1950, there were one missionary per 25,000 people. Today's, the world population has tripled to around, oh, here it is, to around 7.8 billion people. How many missionaries do we send out? 29,000. Only 7,200 of them are independent Baptists. So in the last 68 years, the mission field has tripled in size, but the missionaries going out of the U.S. has decreased by 71%. That's over 260,000 people per missionary today. The need for more missionaries is great. And when you think about it, brother, you think of that city. How many in that city? 33 million, right? How, where you're going, and how many real missionaries, not just Baptists, people that preach the true gospel are reaching them, folks. That's scary to think of that. Amen. I'm glad you're going. Amen. So this week, in thinking about this morning and this 30 minutes I was going to have with you folks, I was thinking, what about you, Bobby? What's your problem, amen? Why ain't you doing more for missionaries? You say, what's wrong with you? You talk to yourself. You do too. You just don't admit it, amen? But think about it. What can we do? Well, I've got into habit because of my fasting. I try to fast until 10 or 11 during the week, and I try to work on my program. I know I don't show it, but really working on it, amen. But I have a habit of getting a specialty coffee, and I finally found one I really like at a certain coffee house. And you know what's bad? As soon as you pull up, they just hand it to you. They see your car, they say, oh, here he comes. I know what he's gonna get, right? So that specialty coffee is about $4.75. Now I think it's unethical not to tip them baristas, because a lot of times that's how they make their living, amen? So I've developed a system in my truck with my change and stuff. I give them $6, and I say, I don't want, you know, that the rest is yours, right? So I did a little calculating on that. So I average, if it's $6 per day, I don't get them every day for about four, right? If I do 4 days a week, that's $24. This is rounded up to 25, right? So that's $25 a week times four. That's $100 a month. Shame on you. Okay, we're going to look at your missions giving, amen? So I'm thinking about my missions giving, and I'm thinking about that, right? I'm thinking, our average missionary is now $75 a month? That we, 65 a month. So I could, with that, I could actually support another missionary through our church. Amen? And maybe you're right, sister. Maybe shame on me. I don't want to be all prideful and get defensive about it. Amen? Because you know what? I do give to missions, and I could give more.
That's right.
I want to make a difference. And we're not going to agree with every missionary, every jot and tittle about a missionary. Amen? About who they are and their family or this and that. But I'm telling you, they're going. They're going, amen. 127 million souls. I'm just reading your banner.
Yeah.
Second largest unreached people group in the world. And less than 5% are Christians. Less than 0.22 attend church. And suicide is the leading cause. Amen. You know, if our country keeps going the way it's going, we're going to have another country. God's going to rise up and start sending missionaries here. Matter of fact, they say this is probably the most missionary right field there is. Amen. Amen. Let's ask the Lord for prayer as we start our invitation. Father, we thank you for this time. And we thank you, Lord, that you give the divine initiatives. Lord, that you do the calling, you do the keeping, you do the sending. Lord, help us to be ever mindful of the need to be involved in missions. Help us to be ever mindful of the need that there are those, not just in Japan and around the world, but there are those right next door to us that don't know the gospel. Help us, oh God, to be soul winners. Lord, we do pray this morning if there's one here that has never crossed the line as far as trusting Christ as their Savior, never been saved, never have asked you, Lord Jesus, into your heart, that today would be the day of salvation. And Lord, for the rest of us, I pray that our burden would deepen. I pray that our heart and our soul and our mind would be clearer to your call and your initiatives in our lives. We pray in Christ's name, under his precious blood. Amen. With